series is about is how do you take the intentions that you feel in moments of passion or inspiration, or when God's touched your life, how do you take those moments of inspiration with God and move them into everyday life? Or said another way, oftentimes what happens is God's work is flowing in our life and His work begins to hit. Think about God's work in your life as a river, and then it begins to hit barriers inside our inner life and it begins to be hindered. So there are things inside of our life that God wants to do, but there are barriers inside of our life that hinder His work, slow His work down, stop His work, delay His work. God's work, His dreams, His plans, His will for our life has trouble working its way through our life sometimes because of those barriers that are set up in us. Now, what are those barriers? We've been talking about priorities. They are priority patterns. They are patterns of priorities that are separated or different than His Word teaches us to live. I call it like this. If the work of God in your life is like a river that's flowing and those barriers hinder it, it's like having holes in your inner life. God is pouring into your inner life and communicating into your inner man and your inner being His will, His kingdom, His dreams, His Word. But because of the priority patterns, it sets up leaks, it sets up holes, and the work of God constantly drains away because there's not the right priority form to hold them on the inside. Let me say it like this. When we don't put first what God says put first, then chaos and discouragement and defeat fill our life. When we put first what God says put first, we live the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. So what we've said consistently in this series is basically this. The order that you put things in your life matters. We live in a day that's such a fast, a rigid pace, so many demands, so many expectations, so many options, so many things that you could do, so many things that are pulling on you to do, that oftentimes everything feels equally urgent and equally important. But what I'm saying to you in this series is, even really important things have an order to them, have an order that they're supposed to be put in. So as we started this series, we talked about Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, kingdom first. We talked about love God first, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, love your neighbors, yourself. We talked about when do you put yourself first? And in Matthew 7, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. And then it talks about first pull the beam out of your own eye before you pull the splinter out of your friend or neighbor's eye. So use discernment with yourself first. And then last week we talked about reconciliation first, that horizontal relationship that must be flowing right, or else you're going to hit barriers or limitations in your vertical relationship with God. Now today, as we're today in one more message and we're done with the first series, I want to share with you a few thoughts on first fruits, because I think no matter how you look at this series or no matter how you look at this teaching, if you look through Scripture, there is sort of an undercurrent principle in the Bible that all these are born out of, all these priorities come from. And we're going to talk about it this morning, called first fruits. Now, if you really want to know what's important to a person, and you've probably heard this, you only have to look two places. You can look in these two places in my life. You can look at these two places in your life. You can look at these two places in anybody's life, and you can find out what's important to them. If you'll look at a person's calendar, and you'll see where it is that they spend their time. If you'll look at a person's expense account, and you'll see where it is they spend their money, you can look at those two things, and it is an absolute indicator of priority. There's no way about it. In other words, if you look at the way a person spends time and money, you automatically know their priorities. Now, I just want to say this to you because I already can feel the ice starting to crack under my feet. Before your spider sense goes off, I want to say a few things. One is, we've already taken the offering. We're not taking another one. Okay? Not here raising funds for anything. As a matter of fact, I did want you to know, I did some research this week, because I want you to know the heart of our church. 2011, what percentage of our church's income would you think that we gave away outside ourselves? To world missions, to local missions, to different projects and agencies. What percentage of this church's income do you think we would have given away outside of ourselves with no benefit to us? 20%. 20% of this church's income in 2011 went out and wasn't spent on anything in here. Not on debt, not on mortgage, not on our building, not on ministries here. 20%. So I want you to know, first off, this church has always been and will continue to be faithfully committed to generosity. So I'm not here because I want something from you. I'm here because I want some things for you. And I want to share this in that nature. If you'll open your heart today, I want to share some principles with you that will strengthen your spiritual life and allow you to live the dreams that God has for you, because you are putting first what He says put first. If you listen closely, you'll realize this is not a message today about giving. This is a message about your heart. This is a message about what's inside. Jesus taught that the easiest way, or the clearest way, to find out what's going on in someone's inner reality is to look at the way that they use their possessions. How you and I handle our possessions reveals to us where our heart is. Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. How you handle that stuff is a heart revelation. It's a peek inside. Out of 38 parables, Jesus shared 16 of them on money, nearly half. There are 500 verses in the Bible about prayer and 2,000 about money. And so, why would God do that? God doesn't do that because He needs our stuff. God does that and He teaches us because He wants our heart. The only way to know if He has our heart or not is to find out if we are possessed by our possessions, or if we are filled with God's kingdom and we put Him first. So let's go all the way back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 4 this morning, and let's look at Genesis 4, 2 through 5. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions. He brought meat, all right? Fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, He did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast, and you know what happened then? Cain took his frustration out on his brother Abel, and we have the first murder in Scripture. Look at this interesting little phrase in verse 3, in the course of time. In the course of time. God looked with favor on Abel's offering, but He did not look with favor on Cain's. Why? The only difference I can read in the story is Cain brought his over the course of time, and Abel brought his first. They both brought offerings. But one brought theirs, Abel brought his first. And so I really think the point of this, for us to understand, it's not so much important necessarily what Abel brought. It's there's a priority order that Abel brought his first before he did anything else. And Cain sort of worked it into his schedule and said, over time, I'll work up to this. I'll, I'll think about it. I'll plan it. I'll whatever. In a little while, tomorrow, the next day, in a week, next month, I'll get to it. And there was a priority difference between the two. And I think the whole point of this concept in Scripture is God just needs to know where He places in your life. He wants to be first. So what was at least important as what He brought was the order He brought it in. When we lived in Florida, I don't know, 15 years ago, I remember this principle began to sink into my heart. And I can remember as I would write my tithe check out every month. I remember sitting there at my desk one in the back bedroom of our house one night making out bills. And I can remember in my own heart there not being really any differentiation between the check that I wrote to the water for the water bill or the power company or the mortgage or the car insurance than there was what I wrote. It was going out and I was writing, I was paying off what I had to pay off. And I can remember beginning to be really stirred about it. And sometimes I would pay those bills and then I would write my tithe check out. Sometimes in a week or two I would do it later. And I can remember being so stirred about it. And this may sound odd to you, but I remember in the way that I was stirred about it, I can just remember sitting there thinking, when's the last time I saw a tear stained onto the check that I write and invest in God's kingdom? And I since then, I don't remember having any either. But it was just a way for me to think about, what priority is this really to my life? I mean, I'd always, since I was, 17, I had always tithed. But I thought, why does this seem to get lost for me and everything else? And I can remember thinking, you know what? This really isn't the same as the water bill and the power bill and the insurance. It's really not the same. This is an investment in God's kingdom, and people's lives are going to be touched because ministries are going to be empowered and missionaries are going to be in other countries. And my mind went to all this crazy stuff that could happen. And I thought, really, this is really sacred. And I can remember beginning to do, I didn't give a different amount after that. I was already given 10%. But I gave it different. I can remember saying, no. Before anything else happens, before any bill comes on my desk, before anything else comes to my attention, this is going to be first. It's first because it's different. It's first because it matters. It's first because God's first. And so, but first fruits isn't just money. I've always been a night owl. I mean, I grew up a night owl. I just seems like to me the energy would start to rise about 9 o'clock at night, and all the fun things are about to start happening. It was too exciting to go to bed. I might miss something. And so I can remember, though, I would do devotions at different times of day. When I was in college, I did it in the middle of the day. Sometimes I do it at night. And look, I'm not trying to put you in bondage. I'm not trying to put you in legalism. Look, be free in Jesus' name from all of that. I'm just saying there did come a point in my life where I started to say, it does seem like giving God the first part of the day is somehow important. Because I would notice that all this life would happen from the time I woke up to the time I got to that point where I had those moments with God. All this life would kind of happen sort of unchecked, out of balance, sometimes out of priority. And so what I started to do is I started to say, I've got to find a way to give God the first part of the day. It became a priority. Even when you can't do, like a full devotion or whatever, even just waking up in the morning saying, God, I put you first today. I acknowledge you, Lord, before I do anything else, before I rush out the door, before I give my life and energy away to something else, Lord, you are first, and I put you first, and I worship you, and I acknowledge you, and I invite your presence into my life today. Lord, fill me with your word and your kingdom and your mind. I want your thoughts to be my thoughts. Lord, fill me with your agenda. And just taking that minute to put him first. That's why that we gather, I don't know that's if you realize, that's why we gather on Sunday, the first day of the week. Because we say, Lord, no. Before I rush out into the week and I give my energy away, and I give my time away, and I start investing and running into all these projects and things. Lord, first I'm going to gather with your people, and I'm going to worship, and God, I give you the first day of the week. That's what first fruits is. It's priority order. I'm going to give you the first part. Did you know that Jesus was resurrected? Obviously, you know this. We're about to celebrate Easter on Sunday. All six appearances of Jesus after resurrection happened on a Sunday. The disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit on a Sunday. There is something intrinsic about putting God first and the priority order of your life and seeing what happens. Do you know one of the reasons that we do a fast every January? We give God the first part of the year. No, Lord, we're not going to rush off in our own thing and then fill you in somewhere. Let's give God the first part, the best part, the top part. Let's put Him first. The first principle is a powerful principle. I do believe it applies to a lot of things, but I also believe it applies to money and to giving. And I don't think God's nearly as interested in the amount as He is the order. I know He gives us guidelines on the amount, and He does that. It's a percentage so we can all participate. Because everybody has different means. Our practice in our family has been whenever we receive something, if it's a gift, if it's a whatever it is, our practice has been before we run off to the store, before we buy a present with it, before we do entertainment, before we pay bills, the first part of that belongs to God. The first 10% of that belongs to God. Now, let me be real transparent with you for a minute. Because I think so many times you get into these issues and I can present this to you in a way that it seems like an infallible priority. But the truth is we all struggle with priorities sometimes. There's been a few times in my life I was just thinking as I was writing this message, you know, it wouldn't be fair. I've said to you, I've tithed since I was 17. But it wouldn't be fair to me to tell you half the story. There have been times in my life, I was thinking earlier today, maybe three or four, where in a time of struggle, in a time of where things were tight, some unexpected larger gift or something would come into our life. And if I'm honest with you, three or four of those times, I'm looking at that going, you know, I could pay some stuff off. I could get this debt. And Proverbs says that the debtor is slave to the lender. And this would really, and there's been those moments of temptation in my own life when I've said, you know, when you're doing 10% of this, that's one thing, but you're doing 10% of this. That's a lot. Anybody out there? Let me tell you how I resolved it. And I'm grateful to tell you, as far as I can tell, I resolved it right all three or four of those times. The way I resolved it was using this principle. What I've said is, either I can keep this money and I can let it own me, or I can put God first and I can let Him own me. And I just made a decision in the critical moments. I didn't feel a lot of tension in my life over those issues because I started so young. So I didn't have some of those tension points. But three or four times I did. But this, how I reconciled the decision was this: God, I'm never going to let money own me. And so you're going to get the first 10% of everything that comes in my life because I don't want to be owned. I don't want to be owned. Paul the Apostle said, do not be a slave of anything but the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, I want you to own me. I think you're the best owner there is. And I want you to own my life. I want you to... The way I thought about it was, if it weren't for God, none of these things would ever happen anyway. So what's the big deal? I wasn't expecting this. I didn't know this was coming. And God provided supernaturally. So what would be the point of withholding from Him now? So what I've said is, Lord, I want to give back the first 10%, not because the 10% is yours, because it's all yours. And as a matter of fact, I'm yours. And so I honor you with me. I honor you and worship with you with me. And here's the proof. Ask anything you want, and I'll give it. I want to be owned by God. So let me back up for a minute, because we can get lost as we talk. Are we talking about money? Are we talking about giving? No. What we're talking about is, how do you live the dream that God has put in your heart to live? How do you translate those experiences, those intentions, those moments of inspiration to move on to higher ground and live it out? You have to remove the barriers that hinder the work of God in your life. You have to put first what God says put first. Give God the first fruits. And then that's what happens. Let me quickly, as we wrap up this morning, let me basically give you three principles, three first fruit principles. If you have a pen, I want to encourage you to jot these down. Three first fruit principles. Here's number one. God must be first. We've really said this the whole series. God must be first. The entire Bible is built on this idea. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who calls us into relationship with Him. And He calls us into a relationship whereby we put Him first. In fact, the first of the Ten Commandments starts out with this idea, Exodus 20, 1 through 3. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. What God is saying is, look, I delivered you, I freed you, I forgave you, I brought you out of the bondage that you were in, I set your feet on a rock, I gave you a new life, I blessed your life. Now, I want to be first. I want to be first. Saying it another way, God is a relational God. God is jealous. And He says, look, I want a relationship with you. God's not asking anything from you that He didn't first do for you. What do I mean by that? Before ever God ever asked you or I to put Him first, He put us first. How did He do that? He took the most precious thing that He possessed, He tithed it, He sacrificed it, He allowed it to be brutally massacred on a cross to communicate to us, this is how much I love you. Let me say it to you like this, this is what place in my life you have. When God sent His Son Christ and sacrificed Jesus on the cross, what He was saying to you and I is, you're first in my life. I would trade anything for you. I would give anything away for you. While His Son is in the Garden of Gethsemane crying to His Father, Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. While He's on the cross stretched out and He says, why have you forsaken me? The silent answer from heaven seems to be, because I love the world so much, I want people to know how much I love them. Don't be confused. You're first place in God's life. There's not another. You're number one in His life. He loves you. God doesn't want some casual religious agreement with you. He doesn't want a contract. He wants a close up, face to face, heart to heart, deep to deep. That's what He wants. That's the kind of relationship He wants, and that's what He has invested into it. He didn't say to you, what He's saying to you is, you're first in my life, can I be first in yours? And He did it first. 19 years ago this summer, Stacy and I stood at the, right in this area, over in the old building where the school is now, and we exchanged our vows and we said, I do. And we were married 19 years ago this summer. And I was thinking back about that. You know, I'm standing there, the back doors pop open, this blue-eyed, blonde-headed, little gorgeous angel comes walking down the aisle. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, this is good. This is really good. Life is good. And she looks me in the eye and she says to me, out of all the millions of men on earth, you're number one. It's like getting saved. I was like, yes, I am, as a matter of fact. And I look back at her, and can you imagine how it must have, would have felt if I would have looked at her and said, you know, out of all the women on earth, millions of women, you're one of them. How many of you believe that wouldn't have worked? Wouldn't have worked. Even second place out of millions would not be good enough. You know why? Because of the commitment that she made to me, she expected the same commitment in return. God has put you first. And because He's a God of relationship, and because He's a God that's jealous, He says, I want to be first in your life too. How do you do that? Here's the second thing. Put God first by giving Him the first of everything. Leviticus 27:30 says, if you're looking at it, a tithe of everything. That's pretty clear. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain or soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. When you fast and you sacrifice that time for God, that's a way of putting God first. When you rise in the morning and you begin to worship or pray, you're putting God first. You're here today and you're saying, before I run off into the week, I'm gonna stop here and worship on the first day of the week. And that's a way that you put God first. When you do those things, God loves it because it's the way He's given us to communicate to Him. God, you are first. See, you are first in my life. Here's the proof, Lord, you're first. It's the way we communicate to Him. So when we give the first 10% of our income, it communicates to Him, Lord, you're first. Deuteronomy 14:23 in the Living Bible. Listen to the way the Living Bible translates this. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God in first place in your life. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? All right, here's the last point. The first has the power to bless the rest. The first has the power to bless the rest. God commits Himself somehow supernaturally to first things. I found this verse when I was a teenager, and it literally was a compass for me for many, many, many years. And Samuel, there's a little verse in 1 Samuel that says, God honors those who honor Him. And so somehow early in my Christianity, I began to understand that if I wanted God's best, I had to put Him first. I had to honor Him, and then somehow because I honored Him, He would honor me. And I can tell you, it's not that our life has been pain-free. It's not that we've had no sacrifice. It's not that we've not suffered. I'm just saying to you, I have lived a blessed life. And I just want to say to you, I believe it's because, not perfectly, but because many times I put God first. And I honored Him and He honored me. There are supernatural, unexplainable things that have happened in my life. And that's my story. That's my testimony, and I'm not changing it. And so I think that's the way the kingdom works. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. I remember several years ago talking to my mom on the phone. I'm going to ask our worship team to go ahead and come now. And my mom, because of the, many of you know enough about my life to understand this, just because of the intensity and the chaos of our life, it left my mom at a point earlier than she should have been that she was unable to work. And so she went on disability several years ago. And so basically she has no retirement. She just lives on disability. That's it. That's all she has. And so she just gets this monthly check. And I can remember she'd come to a point where she was really struggling, and we were doing everything we could do, and she was in a hard place and she was struggling. And I can remember as we were talking, I said, you know, Mom, let me just ask you something. Are you still tithing? And I'm just telling you the witness of my own life and her life. She said, oh, yeah. She said, I would never stop that. Now, look, she doesn't tithe here. She doesn't tithe to me. She tithes to her church in Memphis. And I can't, I'm not lying to you. I can't tell you the relief that came into my life. Because I said, okay, I don't know how, I don't know when, but you are holding yourself up underneath the supernatural care of God. And He loves you. And I don't know how I was going to resolve this, but He's going to resolve this. And it took time. Several months later, she went through, and a small little miracle started to happen in provision. This little lady who has no means, no nothing, provision started to come back into her life. And sometimes unexplainable, seemed like, you know, luck or chance or whatever, but I know different. She put God first, and God continued to put her first. You know, I was thinking, there's a verse in the Bible I would like to have started with today, but I don't think it would have made sense. I want to start with it. I want to end with it. Because I think after a message like this, it makes sense now. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And so as Jesus is speaking these words out, you can almost feel the concern on the people he was talking to was, but God, how are we going to eat? How are we going to survive? How are we going to be provided for? Okay, fine. If we can't serve you and money, what do I do? Just quit working? I mean, what do I do? How do I work that out? Now look, Jesus, as He always does, knows how to go right to the heart of an issue. He said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you? Now watch this. Here's the key phrase in the entire passage. Oh, you of little faith. I've read that for years, and I used to wonder, why is that in there? It seems like He just changed subjects. Anytime it looks like in the Bible that the writer changes subjects, that's a clue that something real important is written there. Jesus, as He always does, went straight to the central issue, and He said, you know what the real issue here is? The real issue here is faith. The real issue here, let me say it another way, is trust. Do you trust me? If you trust me, put me first. If you love me, put me first. If you want to operate in a supernatural kingdom, put God first. Did you know that 96% of Americans believe in God? But belief in God is not enough. Let me say it this way. The priority list of our life, 96% of Americans have God on their list. He's just not first. And what I just want to say to you this morning is there's a difference in belief in God and trust in God. And so what you say is, Lord, I give you the keys to my life. I turn over and surrender today. God, I want to put you first. Lord, I want to trust you. I want to put you first. I want to honor you, God. First. How do you take the dreams that God has put in your heart And how do you see them lived out in everyday life? Put first what God says put first. And there's going to be times the math don't make sense, and the schedule don't make sense, and the calendar don't make sense, and time don't make sense, and energy don't make sense. But I'm telling you, you put God first, and His dreams, His plans, His will, His kingdom will drive its way into your life. And so you were looking for instant results. It probably won't be instant. Because if it was instant, it would be magic. And it's not magic. If it was instant, it'd be a religion. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. And what He wants is this back and forth interaction where you fall deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in love with Him. And you sometimes struggle for a while, and you sometimes things don't work for a while. Then all of a sudden, He comes through and you go, oh, look, see, God does love me. And you fall in love with Him deeper again. That's what the deal is. Would you, right where you're sitting, would you just close your eyes? I was praying, Lord, what do we do with this? See, I think the thing is, we can rush off into something and not touch God with this. Here's what I want you to do right where you sit. The truth is, everybody in this room, including me, our priorities drift from time to time. Life will eat your priorities. It will chew them up. And unless you intentionally and regularly and consistently keep your eye on the ball, your priorities will drift. You have to do it on purpose. It won't happen. And I just want to encourage you today, let's pray together. And as we pray, I want to encourage you to pray. It's one thing to listen to me pray, but power enters your life and things start to change when you pray. And I want to encourage you today, just as I shared these things, maybe there are things on your heart and you say, Lord, I really have drifted off here. Or maybe you say, Lord, I really have. Maybe you say, you know, I've never tithed in my life. How do I start? Do I have to do all what? You know, the truth is, I don't even know. I don't even know the answer to that. I just started tithing at 17 and I don't know. I don't know how you do that. Here's what I want to say. You turn to the God who loves you. You turn to the God of wisdom. And you begin to pray. And the priorities that are on your mind now, I want you to turn them toward Him in prayer. What God has put on your heart in this service, maybe it's a schedule thing. Maybe it's a work schedule thing. Maybe it's a, you know, things you commit yourself to voluntarily. And there needs to be some changing and some reordering. Would you just start to pray with me, Lord, today I surrender the priorities of my life. Would you tell Him that? Lord, I let go of the things that have moved their way too high to the top. I let go of the things I've struggled in my heart. I've struggled in my life. Would you just confess that to Him? If that's you, just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe repentance is needed. Maybe you need to begin to repent today. And you just say, Lord, I repent. I lay down these things. God, I've not put You first in this area or that one or the other. Lord, I've not put You first there. And God, I repent this morning. Lord, I want to love You. Let love stir your heart to love. Let love stir your heart to greater love today. Say, Lord, I want to love You. I want to honor You. I want to worship You. God, I want to know that my life is connected to You deep to deep. Lord, I want You to be number one. You put me first, God. I know You did. I want to put You first, God. This year, the Lord has given us a vision to stir us, to move to a higher place.